Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. If you're new to the show, you can head to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. My next guest, super excited to have her on, is Kaylee Capaldi. She stars as Maria in the national tour of The Sound of Music, a role that has inspired generations with its message of hope and courage and joy and the power of human connection. I had a chance to see her. She was radiant, just an outstanding performer. I saw her last night at the opening. And she is joining us now to tell us about her journey and her role and more. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in. As I said, I can't even imagine what time you went to sleep.
That's okay. It's worth it to get up and chat with you.
You're so sweet. So what a performance. What did it feel like opening night here in Orange County?
It was so wonderful. We just came from San Diego, and then before that, we did 3 weeks at the Pantages in L.A., but we've all been really looking forward to coming to Orange County, and the crowd was wonderful last night, so welcoming, made us feel right at home.
Love it.
And so we're excited to be here for the next 2 weeks.
I love it. So can you tell me, Kaylee, about your background, how you got involved with musical theater?
Sure. So my family are also performers. I come from a long line of vaudeville performers on my dad's side.
Wow.
In Scotland and England. And then my dad is an actor and a classic rock artist and a multi-instrumentalist.
Very cool.
My mom is a Broadway and film and TV actress. And so it's kind of in my blood,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Oh, yeah.
From the time I was born, I started singing before I could talk, and so I think to my parents it was never really a surprise that I wanted to pursue this.
Sure, absolutely.
Although they certainly tried to dissuade me in their loving way. They definitely, since they knew firsthand, they always said, "Is there nothing more stable that you want to do with your life?" but I said, "No, I'm a goner." I was a goner from the very start.
I bet.
So. Yeah, I was really inspired by my family and those roots that go way back.
Absolutely. So tell me about some of your earlier roles in different productions.
Well, my first professional role in New York, which is where I am based,
okay.
Was in the off-Broadway version of Titanic, which is now on Broadway, up for 3 Tony Awards on Sunday.
Whoa, congratulations.
Very proud of that show.
Yes.
So I was in the first replacement cast of the off-Broadway production at the Darrell Roth Theater. And that was my first official professional New York theater gig.
Exciting.
And that was actually the first of 3 times I was with that show
mm-hmm.
over the next 2 years.
Okay.
And so I came back later in 2024 after being with the show for almost a year to play full-time one of the roles that I understudied. So that was really wonderful and fulfilling. And then the third time I did that show was actually on the West End in London 1 year ago last summer. So that was incredible. I got to play Celine on the West End. Some other things that I did early on was I played Elsa in the first regional production of Frozen.
I saw that.
At the wonderful Tuacon Amphitheater. So that was really amazing and fulfilling.
I love that. And Into the Woods, Little Women. And you went to Columbia and Berkeley.
I did, yes.
So Berkeley, tell me, was it mostly singing? Were you playing instruments?
So interestingly, I'm going to give away my age here a bit, but
okay.
My middle 2 years of college were online because of the pandemic.
Ah, okay.
I graduated in 2022.
Okay.
And so while I was doing online classes at Columbia, I suddenly had a lot more time on my hands,
mm-hmm.
as we all did,
sure.
being at home. And so I figured that I would simultaneously pursue a professional degree at Berklee College of Music online as well.
Great.
And that degree is in film composition.
Oh.
that because I'm very passionate about film scoring and orchestral composition. So that was a passion that I discovered during the pandemic and was able to pursue online at Berkeley while I was also completing my double major studies at Columbia.
Because you were not busy enough.
Right. Well, you know, being at home, I found that I really needed a creative outlet.
Of course.
As so many of us felt.
Oh, yes.
As artistic people, it was such a hard situation to be in, isolated from other creatives, not being able to do what we love to do. So I turned to music and I turned to composition for that creative outlet. I also turned to the early days of TikTok and social media just to find like this online community of fellow collaborators and artists to fill that void of creation that I needed to.
And I understand that. I get that, you know, and it's such a boost to your mental well-being to do something else when you're constantly learning.
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
So how do you prepare for such a huge role that you played as Maria?
Well, it starts with very good sleep. It starts with good hydration. I have to take care of my voice in a very strict way. So that includes vocal warm-ups, vocal massage that I do on myself.
That's great.
I always cool down after a show. I'm very strict about that. And day-to-day, you know, being on tour, we're almost 10 months into touring, which is insane.
Really?
The time is flying by so quickly. And being on tour, it's really such a skill to learn how to take care of yourself on the road.
Yeah.
You know, week to week, you're dealing with different environments, different allergens in the environment, different hotels and theaters. And sometimes those theaters are a lot more dry or warm or cold than others.
Sure.
And that can really affect your voice and your physical well-being. So I think I have gotten a pretty good grasp on how to take care of myself physically and mentally also.
Yes, so important.
It's so important, yes.
So my show, Get the Funk Out, came about in 2011. And what advice would you give to people listening? We're broadcasting live from University of California, Irvine, who are, you know, at the Claire Trevor School of the Arts, and they aspire to have a life that you've created with a lot of dedication and hard work. What advice would you give them when they go through a funk creatively?
That's such a great question. I mean, one thing that you have to keep in mind is that even the people who appear to be having a really high point in their career, a low point maybe around the corner. It is so unpredictable, this business, and
yes,
the highs and lows that performers go through are unfortunately very necessary. You know, a lot of the time as a performer you will spend unemployed and auditioning, and that is part of the job. It's not shameful. It doesn't mean that you are not a good performer. It's literally just part of the job. And so I would say, like, first of all, like, we know that social media is fake, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
we know that what we see of someone's life is only half, if not less than half of the story.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I would say, like, anyone you look at or admire or ask for advice, like, I think just remind yourself that they are no better than you. You are equal. You are both performers trying to make it in this industry.
Yes.
But I would say, like, exactly like what you said, it's the hard work and the dedication to the craft that will see you through the low points. And we'll see you to the next peak in your career.
Yes.
Auditioning is the job. I always view auditions as, you know, not necessarily trying to compete for a job, but the audition itself is the job. And if you actually do book it, that's the cherry on top.
Yes.
It just helps kind of shift perspectives out of a place of desperation and into a place of abundance and gratitude and being able to really be fully present in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you do book that job, to celebrate your successes to no end.
So true.
And to really live in that moment and show up every day the professional that you are. Invest in those personal relationships because in this industry, the world is so small
mm-hmm.
that they will see you through. Yeah,
yeah.
And to honestly just never give up. If it fills your soul, if it fills your cup, we need things now that make us feel alive and that make us feel human and creative and
yes.
and to really never let that go.
I love that. Thank you. That was tremendous. I was going to say I love what you said about social media as well because especially Gen Z are experiencing a loneliness epidemic, but really millennials, everybody, and we need human connection. And I feel that last night was a testament to getting people to come out in person and feel comfortable and experience joy and look at the stranger to the left or right and say, wow, isn't that fantastic? Look what Kaylee just did, or listen to that other song, or, you know, and it's, we need the arts more than ever.
You're so right. I think theater is one of the last remaining unifiers in our society where, exactly like you said, people from all different backgrounds and beliefs mm-hmm. and socioeconomic circumstances can join together and experience something unique that will never be created again.
Right.
And theater is this stronghold of human creativity in the face of AI, in the face of the threat that technology is to performers and people of all industries.
Exactly, all industries. I was just saying to someone, there are so many people in radio and TV, et cetera, so many industries that have lost their jobs because of AI. And as easy it is for me to say, oh, you know, don't be down on yourself, you do have to keep going and you have to go to your core. As you said, you have to take great care of yourself more than ever. You have to dial into that mental, physical, emotional, and social health component and be good to yourself through those challenging times. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Have there ever been any funny or unexpected moments on stage? I mean, those kids last night were rock stars. They're so cute.
They truly are. Well, being on the road definitely presents its share of funny circumstances. We'll have the occasional mishap on stage, mm-hmm. and, you know, as long as there's no threat to anyone's safety, it can be quite funny to see how someone will get themselves out of a funny situation.
Wow, I love it.
You know, for example, last night, just purely by accident, one of the thunder sound effects went off too early in our dialogue in the scene between myself and the woman who plays Frau Schmidt, Jen Malenke. And it really actually scared us to death because we were not expecting a thunder boom there. It wasn't in the script. But it was just a pure accident of opening night that happened.
Sure.
And so we both jumped out of our skin. But then genuinely got to have a laugh about it later.
Yes. But you went with it. I mean, that's part of, you know, improv and going with it. The kids were so cute. I won't even talk about them because I want people to see the show, but they were stellar. They were so cute.
They are superstars. Let me tell you, they are so inspirational to me because those kids go to school full time during the day.
I was wondering.
Yeah, they go to school. I mean, about, I would say, half of them are tutored by our teacher who travels with us on the show, Miss T. And so some of them do school with her. Some of them are homeschooled by their parents or do online homeschooling programs on the road. But they work so hard.
Wow.
And they work all during the day, and then they show up and they do the show at night. And and the six children that you see on stage, not including Liesl, number 7, because she's an adult performer.
Okay.
But the six children that you see on stage are the main cast. There is no second cast that rotates out.
I was wondering.
Yeah, so they are doing all the shows, and if they have to call out, like any of us,
mm-hmm.
we have three offstage swings who are also just so wonderful,
okay,
who are also children, who can swing on and save the show in a moment's notice.
That's outstanding. I mean, what a work ethic for somebody so young.
Oh, for sure. Teaching them such incredible skills. I mean, they are consummate professionals, truly.
Yeah,
like,
it shows.
By adult standards, they are so wonderful. The way that they conduct themselves is really so admirable.
I love it. And, you know, it's interesting. So do they have to be part of the, they're part of the same union that you're part of?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so I was thinking, wow, these kids are touring with this show. They are amazing. Yeah.
They're amazing. I mean, that being said, we do have, I mean, each state has very strict child labor laws,
of course.
And
yes.
So, you know, they can't go over a certain number of hours in a workday.
Yeah.
And, our tutor and also child minder, Miss T, is very, very strict about, you know, protecting them and making sure that they have clocked in and clocked out at the right times. And
sure.
So, yeah, I really am just such, very much in awe of them because, you know, if they can do school full time during the day and show up to a show at night with full energy and enthusiasm, then I can do that too because I'm not going to school. Sometimes I need an energy boost.
I know.
That I can do it.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like Cinderella at night. Like, I'm so tired. And then I look at these kids. I'm like, Janine, these kids are out here doing this show, you know?
Yes.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received as a performer? Is there?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, one of the pieces of advice that I received that really helped change my perspective is actually something I already touched on a little. That was me repurposing someone's advice to me and giving it again. But it really is like treating an audition like the job itself.
Okay.
Because if you can view the job that you're trying to audition for as just the bonus, you will be able to feel so much more present in the audition process because that's something that performers do a lot is like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to say, you know, oh, I'm going into this audition. I have to get this job. I need this job. You know, that's a chorus line for you, you know.
Yeah.
I need this job. I need the money to live. I need the credit on my resume. I need the professional connections. Everything rests on getting this job. But
yes,
that's just such an undue amount of pressure that no one needs and that no one can function well under.
Yes.
So if you can just say, my job today is this audition, I'm going to make a good impression for the casting director and the director, whoever's in the room. I'm going to represent myself well. I'm going to be a professional. And that's all that matters for today. That is so freeing. It really helps with nerves. It helps with stage fright. It helps with all of that. And so I really value that. The other piece of advice I will say, Janine, is that I got is to always stay in school. Even when you have graduated, even when there's no more school left to do, as an actor, keep going to acting class. Keep going to dance class.
Yes.
Keep doing voice lessons. I do voice lessons. I've been doing voice lessons every week with the same teacher for 18 years.
What?
My vocal coach is so incredible. Kimberly Knitt, she is based out of Las Vegas.
Okay.
I found her when I was 7 years old.
Aww.
And I have studied with her every week ever since. And I will never stop.
But even, excuse me, when you were in London, you studied with her on Zoom or?
Yes, actually. Oh,
beautiful.
Yes. She's wonderful. She teaches students all over the world because she teaches on Zoom and FaceTime. And so, yeah, the voice and the body and the mind are ever-changing things. They never stop evolving. So I say, you know, why would you stop your education as a human, as a professional? Keep studying, keep going, keep trying to be better.
I love it. Does she have an Instagram?
You know, she has a website.
Are you allowed to give it out?
Yes, I can. Her website is kimberlyvocals.com.
Okay.
And I highly recommend her. She has changed my life and continues to change my life and inspire me. And
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I love her so much.
Sounds like a great coach, but also a mentor.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And someone who has, other than family members, been in my life the longest of anyone that I know.
What a blessing.
Truly, truly.
So I know you have a big social media following. I think you have over 300,000 followers, over 100 million views across platforms. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like the thing that you really thrive on is the human connection component. Because is it hard to get on social media at times? Do you feel like you like to do it or you need to do it?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, it's mm-hmm. hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I have given up my TikTok account.
Really?
I deleted it a few months ago because, I mean, not to get too far into it, but I really disagree with how the platform has been managed over the past 2 years. And so out of protest for that, out of a want to protect my own digital privacy mm-hmm. and protect those rights, also as a way to protect my mental health. TikTok and social media are things, I really got into those during the pandemic at a time where the platform was really just starting to boom in the U.S. And at the time, it was a place where I could, you know, find other singers and feel like I was part of this online community when we couldn't be in person together. And honestly, at that point, it was so important. It was such a big part of my life, and I really valued it because it made me feel creative again. I could mm-hmm. post a singing video. I could share it with the world. I could build a bit of a platform and then be able to speak about things that I really cared about. Now, though, I really do crave human connection. And when so much content online, you don't know if it's real or AI.
Oh, I know.
You have to train your media literacy in order to just understand what you're looking at.
Yes.
Which is very important, and I think everyone needs to do that. But I have found that the mental toll that social media takes does not outweigh the benefits. I think I needed to protect myself, and also I needed to invest more time and energy in my human connections.
Yes. Yes, you're speaking my language because I'm also a mental health advocate, and there is such power in human connection, and I love that. That's a great message because it really does take a toll on you, and we have forgotten. It's hard for people to develop their interpersonal skills post-pandemic.
It is. I think of kindergartners and students, and I mean, even my generation, my classmates who were in the middle of their college career, and all of a sudden that just got massively put on hold.
Yes.
And it's not as if we were just able to come back from that unburdened. You mm-hmm. know, there, you know, I can speak for myself. I had a lot of fear of getting sick. I think we had a lot of perhaps isolationist tendencies.
Yes.
That came about because of the pandemic, even though for a time it was necessary to protect ourselves and others.
Right.
So now, you know, all we can do to fight against that again is to try to be with each other and to create in each other's presence.
Absolutely. One last thing. Have you heard of the Offline Club in London?
No, actually.
If you look it
Tell
up on Instagram.
About it.
So the Offline Club basically is a group that started, and now they're everywhere, where people gather, but they have to leave their phones at the front locked up, and they actually read, and they talk, and they play games, and they create, and they engage, and they nap, and whatever they do, but nothing on phones, no phones allowed, and they take over cafes and museums, and it's beautiful.
That is incredible. We need that here.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I wonder if that's come to the U.S. yet. We need that so much.
We
do. How beautiful.
Those are spaces I want to create. That's what I'm working on. It's so powerful. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
it's funny. I think of, like, sometimes you see videos of, for example, like Michael Jackson concert or concerts before cell phones were really a pervasive thing. And you see how present people are.
Oh, yes.
Nowadays, it's just a sea of iPhones.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, even at our bows, at the end of the night, as the Sound of Music, I mean, on one hand, I feel very grateful that people want to document that moment of bows and remember it, or if they post about it and tag us, that's wonderful. However, when we bow, a lot of the times there's a decrease in the applause because people are holding their phones.
Yes. Yay,
and
I get to check my phone now.
I don't mean to sound ungrateful or anything like that, but it's just an interesting phenomenon.
It is, and it's not a good one. So we do have to wrap up. Could you tell listeners where they can find you? Because I will say that Kaylee will be continuing to perform June 2nd through the 14th at Seagramstrom, but where can they learn more about you?
You can learn more about me, unfortunately, on my Instagram.
That's all right.
At kaylee.capaldi. Also, my website, kayleecapaldi.com.
Okay.
And you can find more about the Sound of Music at Seagramstrom. And you can buy tickets on their website as well.
Fantastic. Kaylee, what a joy. Thank you so much for calling in. Congratulations. And I just loved the show last night.
It's so nice to talk with you. And thank you for asking such wonderful questions.
Oh, thank you. All right. Take care. Be well.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that's a wrap for this week's show. Up next, SoCal New Waver with Pass Forward. Stick around for that. Great show. You've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'll be back next Wednesday. This is Janine. You're listening to Get the Funk Out.